Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Blue Kool-Aid Drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back. And we are breaking everything down from the week two loss against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers got owned by the Lions twice last year. They came in with full revenge and they sought it out and they got it. A 20-16 victory in Ford Field. But man, there is just a lot to talk about. I don't know if they won the game or we lost the game more so, but we'll get into all that in a moment. But before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. I am Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got UJ.
Greetings, Lion fans.
And Rud Dog.
Yo.
All right, gentlemen. So I think we're going to cover this game by talking about some individual performances and then the things that happened around those performances. And before we get into the negative here of this game, we're just going to do something called stock up, stock down, pretty common, like football article type-esque thing. But anyways, I want to start it with stock up, and it is through the roof. I'm still buying it, and I think we all are, and that is a man named Aiden Hutchinson.
Ooh,
4.5 sacks, just absolutely owned this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, who was sending to blockers repeatedly after the first two drives. And he's still getting after it. Just 4.5 sacks, 5.5 on the year. He leads the NFL by 1.5 sacks at the moment. He's doing swim moves. He's doing spin moves.
Whirling dervish.
Yeah.
The coverage sack on one, just because he has this high motor, he doesn't stop. The man is a machine. And it is just an absolute pleasure to get to watch this man play football on a rookie contract.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is such a pleasure to watch this guy. Besides his freaky stature at 6'7 and 265 or whatever he is, his speed and his relentless motor is what gets me. The guy just never, ever, ever takes a playoff. Ever. He's just remarkable. And I think this day was coming. It was only a matter of time, and it came in a rush, and it was awesome to watch. I just wish it was a winning cause, but it was still a marvel to see anyway.
Oh, that's what makes it so heartbreaking that we lose the game with this dominant of a performance out of Hutch.
It feels like the performance that was wasted last year against the Seahawks. Honestly, like that great offensive performance that we ended up losing anyway. But this time it was a great defensive performance and we lost anyway. And Hutch was just amazing, man. Like, you're right, Z, it's been coming for a while. And, oh, God, it's so good to see him finally. Like, honestly, last year I feel like the way they were able to block him as much as they did always just seemed crazy. But he's that much better this year. No one can handle this guy.
Absolutely. And also joining the podcast is Bob.
Hey,
Bob. Jumping right in when we're talking about Hutch.
What a great topic that is.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're starting strong on this episode with with the stock up, and that is Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, yeah.
Do we think he'll break 20 sacks by the end of this year at this rate?
At this rate, for 30. Sure.
At this rate, he's going to get 40-something. So, yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be a huge year for him. I mean, he's already started great. I think it's going to only continue.
So, you imagine teams are going to be doing what they did last year, which is like pretty much triple teaming him at times. Who is going to be the second guy that steps up? Because outside of Hutch, no one had any hits on the quarterback.
Aleem got half the sack.
I'll tell you what, though. Anzarike and Aleem helped out a lot.
Anzarike had half a sack.
They did. Anzarike, I thought, really made himself a menace in there, too. In fact, I thought he shared that one with Hutch, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
Yeah, I thought so.
That's why it's 4.5. Yeah.
He's playing very well. So Hutch is benefiting from this new look defensive line that we have that I think are playing very well at the moment. So,
yeah,
I guess I meant another edge. Who's our second edge is going to step up?
Pascal. Pascal actually did. Pascal was just the tiniest little bit away from getting a sack on Baker on that one where he tweaked him pretty good.
Yeah. I know you just
that was a nice play, though.
Thinking that Davenport would have a big year, but still, will he stay healthy?
Save that man for the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he's still, I know he tweaked the groin, I think it was, but I know he's living up to his reputation. It is frustrating, but who knows what's going to be. Maybe he misses a couple and he plays the rest of the season. Let's see what happens. You know, that's all I can say. But yeah, he was very effective that first game, and I think everyone saw that, what he can do if he's healthy. So jury's still out there. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I would, you know, I'm hoping that Pascal can step up in a secondary pass rushing role here from the outside, though. I still want to see someone step up and own that outside of Hutch coming off the edge. I feel like if that might alleviate some like triple teams, even at least leave Hutch to face a double team rather than a triple team at times. But if they're triple teaming him, that makes it easier on their coverage guys too. I mean, Hutch is just a major problem. He can line up wherever.
Major.
And it's just so smooth. Like his swim moves, his spin moves are just so fluid. He bounces off these tackles like they're like just like slightly like us, like when my son kind of walks in front of me on accident, I just kind of brush him off like a little bit to the side. That's kind of how Hutch bounces off these tackles.
You clothesline him or what?
Amazing.
What do you do?
Oh, no, okay. No.
I used to do that with my son. Like, I can't quite do that anymore, but
yeah, it's been a minute.
But anyways, I mean, he has the full caveat of it's just a clinic and pass rush moves going on with him right now. And now he has had the benefit of going against two backup offensive tackles, second and third stringers. So that is, I want to see him really do it against, a top left tackle. But I mean, either way, I mean, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. So
exactly.
One of the tackles play? Or wasn't it Wirfs playing?
He was mostly lined up against Gedke's backup on the Bucks. He did go against Wirfs.
Well, yeah,
a little.
He did go against.
He switched around a bit. You know,
did he beat Wirfs at all?
Most of his success was against the right tackle in this game.
Yeah, but how did he do against the left tackle? Come on, Z.
I'll have to go back here and a check on that.
I would just like to thank the football gods for making the Jacksonville GM a really stupid guy. And
I thought the same thing.
I actually think about that all the time. Every time I watch Hutch play, I go, oh my God, I can't believe
he's so good.
Trent Belke, the GM of the Jaguars.
Like, wow.
Thank you.
I think about that often, actually, how lucky we were to get him.
Yeah, worked out with our rebuild, man, for sure. It was a huge piece.
Definitely. Well, let's get to a stock down for me in this one. And this is not anti-Jared Goff, but his stock is slightly down after this game. And we'll get into coaching a little bit later, but I just want to talk about Jared Goff specifically and how he played in this game. Not his best game. And it is, but it's hard not to get into coaching a little bit because he threw 55 times in this game. Did you know the Lions ran 82 plays to the Bucks 46? Based on DVOA of all the games, you would expect the Lions to win 96% of the time. it felt like the Lions offense was on the field for so much of this game and to produce only 16 points. I mean, it really speaks to the red zone inefficiencies. They were 1-for-7 in the red zone.
Yeah,
very bad in this game, which is just brutal. That just can't happen. But there's like Jared Goff. He seemed under duress a lot in this game. Mm-hmm. But even when he wasn't under duress, he made some of his bad throws. They were just bad throws. Yeah. Like the one over the middle. I mean, he was under duress there a little bit. Deep to J-Mo, or tried to get J-Mo wasn't within 20 yards of the vicinity. But there's some throws at the flat that end up short. Another dropped interception by the Bucks too. This is not the Jared Goff that we left off with the end of last season.
But it's not the receivers either. Yeah. Like our receivers are not getting open like they should either. Like they're smothering our guys, it feels like sometimes. Like there's times where J-Mo is even getting just like mirrored, like a guy's right on his hip, and like they were just not in sync. It's this whole offense is out of rhythm and out of sync right now. They have, and that's on the whole unit, including Ben Johnson. Like they are just failing to get in a rhythm. And that's where it's on Jared Goff. It's on the offensive line, who's gave up 10 hits, I heard, in this game.
10 hits, like, no sacks.
Because Jared does get the ball away, but he also has a clock in his head from last year that was really freaking long, and he's not getting that clock to start the season right now. And I think that's a tribute to just how much harder teams are trying against us and planning for us. Like, this is getting everybody's best shots. These are revenge games for these guys. They got an emotional edge on us right now. That's fine. That's what we want. We want to overcome that, but we're playing sloppy. That's the problem. Like, we're not adjusting yet, but like that's just going to make this team raise the bar to another level. And I, you know, there's no reason to worry whatsoever because you know the character of this team and you know they're going to take the lessons here and they're going to grow.
Yeah, I love Goff. I'm glad they signed the contract. I mean, he is too. He's just relaxed since he got the contract. But I don't think he's taking his foot off the gas. But these have been two bad games in a row. I mean, like, for his rating, like with the Lions, I think they're two of his worst games that he's pulled out this year.
Yeah.
So he's not a good start. But some of his passes, though, he's like throwing off his back foot and, you know, he's not getting his feet set right.
Right. And, this is kind of like the Jared Goff we saw at the beginning of the Lions era, like just bad, not getting his footwork necessarily where it should be. Not much of the big. When he started his Detroit Lions there, he was like backpedaling on and throwing and getting out of the tackle box. He isn't doing that at least, but yeah, this doesn't look quite
comfortable. It reminds me of two games last year, the Ravens game and the Bears game. Games where our O-line didn't have their best efforts at keeping him clean, and he didn't exactly play great either. Like, cause like there's other games where pressure gets there in a lot of ways, but like he still gets the job done. Like, I think it's like the O line is just, I think the O line is needs to adjust a bit. Everyone does. The receivers need to get open. It's a team unit. Like, I can't like off everyone deserves their part.
Right. So you're right. It's a team thing. Exactly. And, you know, and Goff gets a lot of the magnifying glass put on him cause he's the quarterback and rightly so. He's not been playing that great. So I agree with the stock down assessment for this game. However, I'm not that worried going forward. I think this the whole
like buying Apple when it dips in the marketplace for a little bit, but you know it's going to get back up.
Yeah, there you go. Good analogy. Yeah, good analogy.
Because Apple has ravenous fans who will never ever back down.
I mean, if you go watch some of the film, like there was some already breakdown going on of the like, for instance, after that same drive where the Lions run the fake punt successfully, they have a third and two. We'll get to it. But they have a third and two, and they run, like, Jared Goff tries to throw it to Amon-Ra, like, down the sideline, and he just throws it out of bounds. He was covered. It was And meanwhile, Sam Laporta is sitting wide open on a drag route in the middle of the field, right at the, and he probably could have gone for 10, 15 yards. So it's just like little things like that. He's not noticing, and I don't understand why. And I don't have Laporta. Do I have Laporta on my list here?
I don't think so.
Okay, because it's very befuddling how they have just not even tried throwing his way. Like, I was thinking in the red zone, just like all he has to do is run 5 yards, turn around, box out the linebacker, throw it low, let him catch it. Like, he's such a big body and knows how to position his body so well in the receiving game. It's a mystery why he was not targeted in the red zone. He's such a red zone weapon.
I agree. It's like we're afraid to throw to our receivers in the end zone for some reason. I don't know. I think we did throw one to Amon-Ra in the game, if I'm not mistaken.
Jameson got one.
Yeah, we threw one to double coverage. But that was also
that
just
one was wild,
If you watch the play, like, Sam Laporta is lined up outside and he motions back in, and that basically allowed Tampa Bay to double cover J-Mo. So I don't know. Yeah. This is one of Ben Johnson's strengths the last couple years. It's been red zone play calling.
Ben Johnson, he had a bad game.
Going to Ben.
We'll get to him in a minute.
The whole offense, like Red Dog was saying, is just a little out of sync. I mean, everything's off. Like even Ragnow blocked the wrong guy in one play when they could have got a first down. He he covered the wrong guy and left somebody wide open to make the play. But I don't know.
But I think stock up in this game for me. It was Amon-Ra, the return of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Everybody was worried about him in game one not showing up or not getting the ball thrown his way necessarily.
Who was worried
about everybody
him?
That no, he's still just reliable.
He was my roar of the week.
Who was worried about St. Brown? That's silly.
I mean, there's some people worried. I mean, the first game of the year, there was a lot
of people who worry like that.
It's like they worry about Penei Sewell. Some people like that. That's really ridiculous.
Yeah,
right?
It is ridiculous.
Or like the people who are throwing like Hendon Hooker pictures into the group chat. Like, what the heck?
And Amon-Ra in this game, his
I won't mention names.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either.
Someone put a Hendon Hooker picture in the group chat today or during the game.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I missed that.
I so quick to panic. Anyway, what did I say? Amon-Ra is definitely a thumbs up on this one because he had to work hard for those 11 catches too. I mean, he wasn't just open all the time. He was fighting his ass off trying to, to get open and plus the runs after the catch a little bit. Really a hard fought game for him. It took a couple of hard hits.
And it looks like he will be okay too. There was some. He just suffered like a contusion and cramping, nothing major. So if you're worried about his future on the injury report, he probably won't be practicing too much, but he'll be out there on game day, it sounds like, most likely.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he was back. This is a team that he plays very well against. They play a lot of zone schemes, and that is where Amon-Ra really shines in the zone because he's just good at finding those little pockets here and there.
They seem determined to not let him get him on another one of those crossers to the house like he did last year.
Right, yeah. But, I mean, at the same time, I thought Jared Goff was probably a little too reliant on trying to look at him at times instead of some of the other receivers on the field, like Laporta, like in the aforementioned example I just mentioned.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's obviously not on Amon-Ra by any means. But he looked good. He looked good. There's no concern about him. He plays very well against this Buccaneers team. I don't know if you guys
plays well against most teams. Let's be honest. Last week was the fluke. That's why I think people panicked. It was so abnormal for him.
Who was panicking? I don't even hear all this chatter about panicking.
You didn't hear the panicking in the
streets? He's like a Pro Bowl receiver. He's like he had one game there. He didn't get 100 yards and then panicking. Jesus.
People panic, Bob. It's wild.
That's ridiculous. Oh, can I? Did you do stock up on Vaki?
No, but we can include him.
Yeah, because that fake punt.
The next one. But yes, I mean, if you want to go stock up on fake punts, the Lions have done it yet again. And actually, shout out to Dave Burkett, who kind of pointed out the fake punt that the Lions would potentially run against the Bucks.
He did.
So shout out to him for kind of calling it out 6 days in advance. But yeah, Jack Fox, perfect throw. Vaki, perfect route. You still got to catch those, you know? And if you don't, the Bucks are getting the ball on the 30-yard line. So
that's what kills me about Campbell, man. He does these things deep in his own territory, and it's just awesome. It's
just because he understands the art of deception. Like, he knows how to pick his moment, man. Like, you have to have that, like think about it. Everyone knows he's going to do something like this, and he still gets away with it because he knows how to pick that right moment.
Yeah.
Where, it, like, it's counterintuitive almost, but, like, that's why no one sees it coming.
I think he trusts the defense a lot, too, Campbell. I mean, and the defense played a great game. Rodrigo didn't get, you know, juked out of his shoes, you know, there's a big play right there. I mean, just like one thing. But for overall, they played a great game. I mean, that was fantastic.
Really, that one play, I mean, that long touchdown pass was really the one play.
and you know what? Like, I think Terrion is getting, like, special treatment right now. They are looking at him with a freaking microscope because other guys are getting away with muggings and Terrion's getting away with nothing. Like, that man is, like, he's sticky at least, you know, at least it's better to be able, you know, at least he's there. He's in the right position. It's easier to fix those little things than, you know, not being able to keep up.
But yeah, well, since you mentioned him, I guess we could stay on him right now, is Terrion Arnold. I had him as stock down.
I know.
I mean, he still played a decent game, but he still, I mean, he's got to realize he does have that spotlight on him, and he's not going to get away with the ticky-tack stuff, so don't do it. He's in great position. You don't have to do the little extra.
Yeah.
And then the face mask was also a killer. So, I mean, he just had some big penalties in the first two games. And also, that was his responsibility on the long touchdown to Godwin.
Yeah.
He completely abandoned his zone on that.
I just say stock sideways because he's basically carrying on from where he was last week, a struggling rookie. So,
he's not Cam Sutton bad, though. This is not Cam Sutton.
No. But, and I'm still very high on this kid long term. I think he's really got what it takes, and he's having some growing pains here and learning the NFL. But I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah, I wouldn't put stock down myself on him. I thought he played a good game. I mean, he was right where he's supposed to be. He's still handsy. I mean, he had that in college. They're still working on that, but it's just the thing he's got to develop. He's a rookie, so
He wasn't where he's supposed to be on the touchdown to Godwin, but
yeah.
I said he's been right where he's supposed to be.
I'm just saying, for the most part.
Yeah,
I mean, where did Mike Evans go? Did he contribute to that? Because Mike Evans was not a major factor in this game.
Yeah, Carlton Davis was all over him.
Was it just Carlton?
Terrion was covering him on plays too. I saw him
right. I mean, they're switching off.
That's the thing. I mean, you gotta remember, the thing about a cornerback is you're gonna remember the plays the cornerbacks, you know, screw up, but like you know we're getting a higher level of quality coverage throughout the game from a guy like Terrion right now.
Oh yeah.
Like he's in on pass defenses. He's providing quality coverage. I'm happy with where he's at. I can't go stock down here because it's a 20-point game, man. Like, that's hard for defenses to get in this league right now. These offenses tend to be hard to stop, and this defense is looking real good.
So only Big Z had the stock down.
Yeah, and I had control the outline, so.
I'm guessing your next one.
That's right.
I'm guessing your next one's going to be stock up, Big Z.
Well, we can do a stock up one. We messed our upper order a little bit. That's fine. We can stay on the defensive side, too. Actually, two ones, I guess. I had Derek Barnes here first. He's looking like an absolute beast. He stepped up, especially when Anzalone went out, although Barnes is the one that caused the concussion to Anzalone.
But
whatever it takes to get more playing time.
It's always your own players that hit you harder almost than the other.
That is true.
Especially in the NFL. These guys watch their bodies.
Yeah.
Constantly. But yeah, self-inflicted friendly fire. Barnes just missed Baker and then boom, right into Anzalone. Hopefully Anzalone's not out too long. I can't remember. Is he had a concussion before with the Lions?
I don't recall
the concussion with him.
That probably means Anzalone is out the next game, though.
I hope not.
I mean, it's hard to turn around a concussion on a week in the NFL.
He's week to week.
Yeah.
So, like, that brings me to a question, like, with Rodrigo's enhanced role on defense, is that because of Jack Campbell's shortcomings, or what's going on there? I've heard something suggested along that lines. It doesn't sound right, but maybe it is.
I think it's because Anzalone was out.
Is that why he was playing? I thought Anzalone was... Oh, I thought he was... Okay. That works. If that's the only reason. But I didn't think... I thought he was in there for Campbell a lot, too. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. Campbell had some...
I was watching on my phone. So
especially in the run game. Just overall, the run defense has just been incredible. Again, yeah,
it's been fantastic. And Rodrigo, I just love seeing him stuff a runner in the hole, man. He just... Mm-hmm. He comes in. Oh, my God. Jackie, it reminds me of a guy like you played with. What was that kid, that linebacker you played with? But, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Rodrigo just flies CJ. In that hole and takes on anybody. Come. And he's fun to watch in the run game. So,
absolutely. Yeah. It's great to have that depth at linebacker, too. Depth at all these positions, really.
Yeah.
But a linebacker. But Derek Barnes had the big pass deflection near at the end of the – on that last drive from the Bucks to get the ball back to the Lions to potentially get the victory.
If he was really good, he would have caught it and ran in for a touchdown. Yes,
I know, right? They would have won the game.
I mean, but he's all over the field. He's a problem, especially the Bucks remember him. I mean, he had the big pick last year. But it's been a lot of fun to just see him constantly just get better and better and better.
Yes.
I don't know how we're going to pay all these guys.
I know.
It's going to suck to lose these guys eventually.
We just got
to
win a Super Bowl before they have to pay them.
Right. Exactly.
I love that. They did an interesting.
We still got a guy like Iffy hiding in the, like, on injured right now, too. Like, that when he comes back, imagine what the secondary is going to look like.
They did an interesting grab.
That was the other stock up I had was just the secondary in this game. Not the secondary, sorry. Safeties, more particularly. Brian Branch looks like an absolute beast. Looks like he's at home in the safety spot, just because that's a position that requires so much instinct and ability to read and just to have a feel for what's going on out there. That pick off Baker was a thing of beauty. I could watch that one over and over. But he's all over the field, man. He had six tackles in this game, obviously, and two more pass deflections in addition to the interception.
Yep.
He is all over, and it's just a lot of fun to watch him play. Him and Kirby out there. Those are two absolute ball hawks, turnover machines, and that's what you want out of the safety position, and not afraid to lay down a smack or two along the way.
Absolutely.
But let's get into my stock down here. I hate putting him down here.
Benny.
He's our boy. But Dan Campbell, I had his stock down this week.
Yeah.
Well, this is Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson, but going on Dan Campbell first, the end of the first half just can't happen. And he is the first to admit it, obviously, but at the same time, it just can't happen.
Nope.
Right.
I don't remember hardly ever seeing that in the NFL too. So I really don't know what happened there.
Yeah. That turned out to be the difference in the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
If they have those points, then they're going for a field goal at the end. It's different. Dynamic.
Right, exactly.
Yep. It's just a lesson.
And you knew it was going to come back to bite him eventually.
Yeah.
Like Campbell said, like, I hope we can overcome that with the reporter.
Oh, God. Can you imagine what Dan's going to be like now? Like how detail-oriented this guy is? Like, this might drive him insane. Like, he's going to want to, he's going to want to, like, really never do that again. Like, you know, like, how mad he was. Not anyone but himself. So that's, like, the worst kind of anger.
I give him a lot of credit for taking the heat. And deservedly so. I mean, it was his fault. And
Right.
You know, a lot of coaches wouldn't. I don't think they'd take it the way he did.
I just don't even know what was going on through his head. There's like 5 seconds left. Like, there's no way you're going to field goal off in time, regardless.
Without spiking it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what was going on.
But, I know Goff is just totally confused. He's like ready to spike the ball. And he's like, where are these guys coming from? What the fuck?
Yeah.
But
Dan might need like a. I think Dan goes off of tuition sometimes, and like, I don't know, like maybe he needs someone who like can keep a little whisper in his ear, like, "Hey, Dan, clock."
I think he'll learn from that, and it won't happen again.
I agree with that.
I don't 100%. Think he needs a.
Can we also say, like, did they make the right decision maybe going that's for how that he fourth fixes down it. There at the end of the second half, or should they kick the field goal, kicked it off? Try to get a three and out and then get the ball back, and then you're in field goal range instead of having to go into length of field again for a touchdown.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the end. So the Lions have fourth down to go. This is the second to last possession. There's
when they could have kicked a 65 yarder or something.
No.
Was that?
Oh. No, this is when they're inside the 15 yard line on fourth down. And they go for it on fourth and eight rather than kicking a field goal. I'm trying to see how much, let me see how much time was left on the clock. I can pull up here.
Yeah, that probably
yeah, that was fourth and eight. Yeah. And in that one, I was kind of hoping for
with the way that field goal, to be honest. The way the offenses did play in that day, it was hard to. Like I love the aggression, but at that point, it feels
so,
like...
So, yeah, 101 was left on the clock there. So, if you're the Lions, you kick a field goal, you make it 20-19, you kick it off, the ball probably gets to the 30-yard line. It's a three and out, like you would hope, like the Lions end up doing. Takes 15 seconds off the clock. You're probably looking at starting at the 30-yard line. Jake Bates is known to kick a 60-yard field goal. You just need 30 yards to kick... a possible game-winning field goal instead of going 60 yards and need a touchdown. I think Dan Campbell made the wrong decision on going out on fourth down in that situation is what I'm trying to get at.
I would agree with
you. We did much better moving the ball between the 20s as well, so that strategy would have played better into the way the offense was having success at all that day as well. So, like, if you get that ball back, you know, the odds of you getting it to the opposing 40 or whatever is better than going into the end zone the way it was going on Sunday.
Yeah. Hey, while we're on the subject here, I just want a quick stock up for Jake Bates. I don't think he's missed a field goal yet, has he?
Nope, he hasn't really been tested.
Not really. I think they could have once or twice, and they decided not to. But he's well, perfect so far.
He hasn't made one over 40 yards yet. So.
But they're all right down the middle, man. I mean, like, perfectly.
But that's the thing. Like, that's a different kind of test. And honestly, that's the test we all were kind of, we ought to have been concerned with him was, can he just hit regular field goals consistently as a pro? Like, we know he can kick it further than most as long as he can find that right consistency. And right now, UJ's right. He looks like a machine. His process is tight.
But I don't want it to behoove us because, I mean, you got to give credit to Dan Campbell for the fourth down going for it, obviously, on the fake punt. And yep. Then, again, like on their side of the 50, like the 45-yard line, getting that one as well.
So maybe his stock isn't down.
Well, I mean, going for it on the fourth down and how he got it was just a tough run to the right side behind Sewell. And that kind of gets to my second one here, and that is Ben Johnson. Yep. Stock down this week.
Thank you.
Must agree.
Jared Goff throws 55 times out of a possible 82 plays. Vita Vea goes out early in the second half, and the Lions still stick with their befuddling short screen game, not looking over the middle of the field a lot, and abandoning the run game to a degree that wasn't. It wasn't the best running game by any means, but also it wasn't the worst by any means, especially when a guy like Vita Vea goes out and you have two backup tackles in, not running it up the middle consistently like we did at the end of the game last week.
I'd rather just watch Chuck down the field to J-Mo all day than what we saw
or
there.
Tampa Bay safeties.
Yeah.
Like, it was just annoying the way, I don't know what they were thinking. This, like, it felt like they're playing into Tampa's strengths. Like,
yes.
Like, which was their quickness and ability to flow side to side. And we were doing a bunch of dink and duff stuff right in the zones they were determined to deny. It's like almost like maybe they like Jedi mind trick Ben into being like, oh, I can use it, but no. Like, I don't know. It's just like frustrating. And the play calling was weird. It didn't look like our normal like style. Like, it didn't have the power element to it. We were like constantly trying to dump stuff off into the flat and then run instead of like striking downfield. And I just felt weird.
And then when they need to move the chains, they end up in these third and long situations instead of like getting a good chunk on first down. And then
then
you're trying to make up that yardage. You know,
it seemed like they were having success running when they went off tackle, pulling a guard or pulling a tackle or something like that. They kept going to the flats and then those little dump off passes. And they seemed to really be covering the flats like incredibly. Tampa was. And we just gave up on the run too early, I think. I think they just, I don't know.
But we didn't give up on it because, like, on key fourth downs, we'd run a really nice run play and then just go right back to what we were doing that got us to the fourth down.
Yeah, it's inexplicable, if you ask me.
I don't mind setting up the pass, and the Lions have passed against Tampa Bay in both games last year as well. Like, they primarily threw, but they did not throw, 80% of the time, like, or 65% of the time, like, then this game is much more balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to chalk this one up to just, I think Ben Johnson was targeted. I think he got a little bit outcoached this week. He was a little off his game. But honestly, like, I think, like Dan Campbell said, it was all probably closer than it seemed. Like there was stuff there. We just need to execute. I think it's still, like, not to go too hard on Ben, which is execution also wasn't great. So it's like you can't just, like, we don't know if they do a better job of being on their P's and Q's. The game plan looks different, you know? Like, that's one of those things. You just don't know what the game plan was meant to look like. But, like, I mean, it's again, blame goes around.
And I will say, I don't give fault on interception to anyone on our team. That was just a missed call by the referee and just a killer. He's talking about Terry Arnold getting the pass interference on a ticky-tack call. There's a blatant pass interference against J-Mo. We do not get that
one. But that's what I'm saying.
That's a big play there, too, man, in a close game like this. That's a huge play.
But that's also why Terion's going to be so much better for it, because being under that microscope, you know he's going to just have to adjust, and he will, and he's going to just be that much. Like, I'm telling you guys, like, in the next few games, you're going to start to see this defense become more and more stifling. I just think we have too much talent at every level of this defense. As these guys start to learn how to gel, how to cover all their, like, responsibilities and really get down into their assignments and understand, I think this is going to be a really freaking hard defense to move the ball against, especially with how much Hutch is just becoming
a
force of nature.
But Z, back to what you were talking
even
about.
Even more so, though,
that play on J-Mo where he gets hit. Do you think he gets that call as his career goes on, or do you think they're just letting people get away with it? I don't know. That was a bad call, man.
I mean, just a blatant miss. Like, almost dragged him down to the ground. J-Mo kept going. I think maybe that's what threw it. Like, made it maybe harder to call. Like, he stayed on his feet good.
He needs to go to get some acting lessons.
Maybe that's just part of the contender, you know?
Down.
Yeah, maybe you should, that's just calling LeBron James and give him some tutorials on how to flop.
We've achieved, like, the next level of the Tower of Ascent now. Like, this is the things that rise up to prevent our climb. The Lions must overcome all comers, including the refs.
Well, they do. Campbell said it from the beginning. We don't blame the refs. The refs are the refs. They're going to get some calls. They're not going to get some calls. And they can't. That's never an excuse.
Yeah. I mean, that would have made a big difference there. But like UJ, you're saying they still got they were in position to win the game at the end.
They were. Right.
Done it.
They were. You know? Right to the
Lions
end.
Lions ran 83 offensive plays in this game to the 50 or the 40.
Oh yeah.
Six, like, of the Bucks.
What did they, like, outgain them by double or something in time of possession and everything?
Yeah, their odds to win based on those stats, it typically means like 96% is what I said earlier, and
so that's why this game is. I mean, well, it sucks that they lost, and UJ's 20-0 prediction went out the window. But for the season,
it did.
But I mean, even though players are talking about this is going to be good for them ultimately, like last year with Seattle game, they lost a game they could have won, and they
blew
it there early in the season, but then they rallied. So I think they're going to come around on this.
I do too. And I have a feeling this going on the road is going to be a welcome to them this week. I have a feeling.
Get away.
They've been at home a lot.
Detroit.
Lately. Yeah. And maybe it'd be nice to get away from home for a little bit, you know? So I think this could be refreshing for them. So, I mean, I don't know. We're not getting that game right now, but I just think it'll be good for their psyche to get out of town for a week.
It's going to be so funny watching giant Aiden Hutchinson tackling little Kyler Murray.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Kyler Murray looks good through two games this year. We'll get on that later.
He always does look good through two games.
Until they say Lions Call of Duty those, like, is Warthogs. Released, right? They said he'll be good until week 8 when Call of Duty is released.
Oh, that'd be funny if he actually dropped off at that point.
That would be amazing.
That's funny.
If you're not familiar, there's a lot of, like, rumors that Kyler Murray, like, just plays Call of Duty at, like, 2 a.m. and kind of ignores his NFL duties, like watching film and everything, if you need context of that. But
if you can't do what you want with your time when you got money.
Again, just because the stock's down on Ben Johnson doesn't mean it's not high. Again, just like Beck's my Apple metaphor. We still believe in them and everything they're doing with this offense. They just got to it's the preseason in a lot of ways for them. That's why it's so great if you could walk away with a victory early in the season, because I mean a lot of teams start 2-0 and they end up 6-11, etc. the rest of the year. There's a lot of good teams that are 0-2 right now, like the Bengals, Ravens, etc. But actually, I said before we hopped on here, producer KJ, at least I was gonna have a surprise prediction. And my surprise prediction is that the Lions are gonna make a trade with the Cincinnati Bengals at the trade deadline for T. Higgins as our third wide receiver that was desperately missing. I think we trade a fourth or a fifth rounder. I don't know. It depends on the desire for him. Now, T. Higgins in the last year of his contract with the Bengals. He's probably a free agent after this year. He's hurt. He hasn't actually played yet this year. But I think the Lions are still missing that third wide receiver. Tim Patrick looked okay in this game.
I got to say something real quick on this Tim Patrick thing, okay? Patrick forgot he was a professional football player in that game. There was a beautiful pass to the sideline. He caught it. Beautiful catch. And 1 foot down. And all you do is drag the other toe. Drag it, like they're trained to do. Like you just drop it down and drag it.
Yes.
Instead, he just steps forward with the other foot out of bounds. We had to punt. And I'm sorry, but he forgot. He's playing on Sunday and not Saturday. So,
UJ, he hasn't caught a pass in the NFL in 2 years.
Can't keep throwing it. If he's out there playing, he should know what he's doing, right?
He had one nice catch in the middle.
You can't.
Yeah, but that was such. That's just a professional receiver thing you do where you drag your foot on that pass. And, he would have made it.
Did you like the one where you stiff armed a guy to the ground? Or wasn't that?
It
the
had
play?
To be said. All right, I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm going to leave it at that.
All right.
Are you going to get on Amon Ra for
favorite guy?
It looked like a fumble. I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah. I think we got away with one there a little bit. That's okay.
Yeah. But I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad that one went our way.
Can't get on Amon Ra. Come on, he had a good game.
I was just trying to go to UJ's. He's getting on Tim Patrick and I get 1 foot down. Well, Amon Ra almost cost us the game by fumbling.
Well, Tim Patrick isn't an all-pro either.
Fair enough.
This is like first game back after 2 years.
I'm just talking about wide receiver 101 stuff. You're catching a sideline pass, you drag the foot, That's all. It's receiver 101.
UJ, I didn't know you took wide receiver.
I did. I didn't pass, but I remember certain things about the class.
Now you're an authority. Make checks out. Granted, you also taught me, I guess, if it hits your hands, you have to catch it, right? Even if it's just one hand.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So, that's everything I wanted to cover on the game. Obviously, this is a game that the Lions should have won. But they will take a lot away from this. Hopefully, Anzalone can return back soon. It looks like Amon Ra will be okay. But the run defense and the defense looks really solid to start the year. There is one little trend I want to talk about. We talk about Goff and how his struggles. I just want to say the NFL as a whole in passing is down, especially passing touchdowns. I don't know if you saw the trend. 4-5 years ago, there was 100 touchdowns thrown in the NFL. Last year, 88. So every year it's kind of gone down. This year, 66 passing touchdowns to this point, 22 less than last year.
So
the way these defenses are playing is really limiting explosive plays. That's why when Goff throws a J-Mo down deep, these explosive plays seem to be rare nowadays. Everybody's playing two safeties deep. They don't want to give up the explosive plays. The analytics all suggest explosive plays is the worst way to lose these games.
My college coach believed.
Yeah, you have to force the team to constantly make the perfect play or the right play and if you do it 13, 14 plays down the field, eventually a team's going to make a mistake, like Goff throwing an interception or something along those lines.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating. Everybody was worried, is there too much offense in the NFL? And now the defenses are winning the day these days.
It's just like weapons and armor, man. There's always jumps from one side or the other.
It's the circle of life in the NFL. You know, eventually, if the defense start getting too good, they'll make some other rule. Like, you can't tackle a guy if he's running north and south or something. You only tackle him if he's running sideways. Or still make up some rule that, you know, we can't tackle.
Everybody got up in arms about that hip tackle thing in the offseason that they implemented, like kind of like throwing your body weight when you're like tackling a guy from behind. Well, and then Joe Mixon got it done to him on Sunday Night Football, and they did not call it. So they clearly not looking for it. And that was like an egregious one. Like, that,
they're just looking for Terrion Arnold pass interferences.
Right. That's why the touchdowns are down, because nobody can hip tackle anymore.
No, I was going to tackle him, but it would have to have been a hip tackle. So I let him go.
Yeah. This offense, though, the way it's constructed, I know it was a bad game this week points-wise, but I think if you're going to take away J-Mo deep, you're going to open up the run game or you're going to open up something short. So they can still score touchdowns. It's just Ben's got to get on his game and get this whole thing going. Yeah. We'll score plenty of touchdowns. I don't care what the trends are in the NFL. I think this team's going to go off.
Man. That's right. I'm with you, Bob. I'm sorry, I said your name backwards. I meant Bob.
Actually, Jameer finally kind of... I thought Jameer had a little better game overall. He did a few more exciting things in this game.
Yeah. That's like giving the ball more, you know? At least in a run game, particularly. Not made the pass game. Oh. But
it's weird. On that, just real quick, though. It's real weird how they always start out with Montgomery. And then in the middle of the game, like, Montgomery just disappears. And they put Gibbs in there for an extended time. And then Montgomery shows up later in the game again. Does that seem like what they're doing? Kind of. To me, it does.
Yeah, I think it's their strategy to like deploy them just in their like own phases. I guess it's weird.
Yeah, it is interesting.
I don't know. Anyway,
it's hard to. I think the whole thing is probably to lull them in to like expecting David and then getting Jameer or something. I would imagine their strategy in the way they're deploying them beyond just like a random order.
Sure there is. It seems to me that's what they're doing. Like,
I also feel like maybe they've made a statement as to who the number one is, because I would say David still is at this moment. I mean, Jameer is starting to come alive, but like David's just doing like the basic stuff a little better, I think, still.
Yeah, it depends on what you mean by number one, because if it's a guy, if we need 1 yard on the goal line, they're giving it to Monty.
That's what I'm saying. Absolutely. Like, he's the number one, right? Yeah. But, like, Gibbs is the bigger play threat, obviously. Some degree, but like that's not like we saw this. Monty had the longer touchdown run last year. Like, I think Monty's just more polished and honestly not that far behind in skill set. So Monty's a stud, and I just love the way they're giving him his due.
Hey,
so it keeps Jameer fresh while he gets more and more experience. Go ahead,
Z. I had a question for you. This is unrelated to the run game, but last week you thought like that Stafford threw the pick because Kirby Joseph was invisible because he wore a blue uniform.
I said, and like, potentially.
Do you think that's why Goff didn't throw more touchdowns, because he couldn't see his receivers because they were all blended into the wall?
No, they had the silver pants on this week.
No, last week, though, he didn't score. They could have scored more.
Good point, Bob.
I think this theory is bogus, but if the theory is true, then that could be part of the problem.
Maybe.
I don't know. The Chiefs guy, I think it was, talked about how teams would wear red gloves against them to get away with holding.
Hey, Bob,
that's different. NFL players definitely done that. The white gloves, especially. It depends on the jersey, I guess, the other team's wearing. Like, if they're wearing white jerseys, the home team wears white gloves, so they kind of blend in with the jersey and they get away with holding a little more. That's been around the NFL for years.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, exactly. That's a similar type of concept, so I don't see why that couldn't be.
I still think it's a possibility, though. It's like the JFK assassination one, completely.
But speaking of jerseys, the uniforms look so good. I love these. This new uniforms looks.
Yeah, wait till they wear the black ones, Red Dog. Wait till they wear the black ones.
They won't.
I'm not the one that you got to say that to. That's for you, Jay.
Black ones.
I know.
Just only like for you, Jay.
I can't wait to see the white, though. The white and the blue combo.
UJ, would you be happy if they put dedicated to UJ on the black uniform?
No, I'd be mad. I'll sue. I'll sue.
Well, I guess it's a good thing.
They know how much I don't like it.
Well, anyways, let's do a really quick roundup of the NFC North results here. The Packers, they hosted the Colts. Malik Willis threw a total of 12 or 14 passes, and they won 16-10. Obviously, Jordan Love is out for a number of weeks. It's undetermined how many. Josh Jacobs ran over 32 carries for 151 yards. They had a game plan. And I don't know if you guys saw the highlight, too, from that game. The center puking on the ball.
Yeah.
The third and long.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The Packers coach asked, like, the Packers quarterback, like, why didn't you throw it? It's third and long. Like, there's a guy open downfield. He said the center puked on the ball.
Malik Willis is playing for the Packers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
That is
the
a funny story, though.
Take instead of Hutch.
That's a funny story, then.
So the Packers move to 1-1. The Colts do not look great. When we play them, I hope we run for 200-plus yards, like both teams that have played against them thus far.
Yeah.
They cannot stop anything. The Vikings, they beat the 49ers at home 23-17, a 97-yard touchdown catch by Justin Jefferson. Sam Darnold, a lot of people were skeptical. I was not, actually. I think I said in our offseason that I thought Sam Darnold was I still thought he was a good quarterback. He's just constantly been in horrible situations. Either way, they look good through 2 weeks. Their defense is looking very good. And anyways, they are the NFC North leaders right now at 2-0.
Yeah.
Which everybody had them in last to start the season.
But I did say they would be competitive this year. So.
Oh, yeah. They have good coaching staff.
I think they do. They've got a lot of good players.
Yeah, Kevin O'Connell, their head coach and offensive coordinator, he's a really good coach.
They're trash.
It's good, though. It gives us someone to chase, you know. It's always easier to chase than it is to lead, you know.
They can feel like they're doing well.
Well, people were chasing us last year, UJ. I kind of like that spot better, personally.
Yeah. I don't. I want to be right in front punching everybody in the face as they come to try to take us on. You better show up like the Bucks did. You better show up with your best shot or you're going down, baby. We're the Detroit Lions. You don't mess around. All right.
All right.
That's right. And then last but not least, of course, my favorite is the Bears looked atrocious against
they
Texas.
Did look
still almost had a chance to win the game.
I know.
Because their defense is really, really good.
Their defense does look good. So
But their offense looks abysmal. Caleb Williams is running for his life every single down.
Yeah.
They cannot handle a 5-man pressure, apparently.
He's got a good arm.
He does. Maybe too good of an arm because he can't hit an open downfield pass to save his life thus far. He constantly is overthrowing open receivers downfield. But he has a long way to go, it looks like, which is just fine with us.
Yes, it is.
It looks like the same Bears team with Justin Fields, except a different name. player.
Justin Fields is winning, though.
He's 2-0.
Right.
Nice. Yesterday there was like a lot of comparisons, like the same exasperated expression of the Bears quarterback sitting on the bench alone, like looking up, like he just got like hammered by 1,000 tackles, which is what both have gone through in their tenure. The Bears offensive line has not been, they have all this money spread elsewhere. They don't spend on the offensive line like the Lions do. And it's probably their downfall. Got to start inside.
Yeah, buddy.
But that is it. NFC North roundup. So 3-1-1 teams, and then the Vikings sitting up top at 2-0. So that will wrap it up for the episode. Next week, we'll be back later this week talking about the Lions and Cardinals, previewing that game. That game's on Sunday at 3:25 Central, 4:25 Eastern. But anyways, we'll wrap it up here. So we want to thank
Sideline. Hey, see, a little preview. Hold on before you go into your thing. A little preview. Have you ever seen a lion hunting a warthog on like the savannah?
I've not been, no.
That's what it's going to look like when Hutch is chasing down Kyler Murray next week. So just, you know, warthog. Get excited.
Mm.
The diminutive,
big, right? Aren't those Kyler Murray?
I thought it'd be little. That'd be more like
a cheetah, like chasing a mouse or something.
Have you ever seen a lion compared to a warthog? It ain't no comparison.
And you remember that show, Land of the Giants? I think it's going to be like that.
Prey.
You know, Kyler Murray's going to be running
through. It's easy prey. Let me clarify. It's easy prey. Okay.
Okay.
Kyler Murray's going to be like running through the vents of the building and stuff like that.
And then he's lion paw.
I know. I just found a YouTube video of a warthog. Killing.
Oh boy.
No.
And speaking of YouTube, we've gotten a few more subscribers lately. Thank you for subscribing. If you were one of those new subscribers, appreciate it.
We love you.
That, of course, is youtube.com/@DTBK_Lions. Or just type in Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid. You'll see the logo, Lion smoking a cigarette next to bull kneecaps. Our own UJ designed that logo. Anyways, just hit that little subscribe button so you're always notified if we go live or something like that, or you want to just watch this fantastic content. then, of course, our producer that we want to thank, Kid J. Who's just crushing it every single week.
He is the best. He's the best.
Put out one of those YouTube shorts, had a bunch of views. That was all him. So big shout out to producer Kid J. Spotify, Apple, where you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. That's Kool-Aid with a K. At Drinking Lions on X/Twitter. And I already mentioned our YouTube, that just type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, subscribe. Otherwise, we want to thank our listeners. We just want to thank you. We know it's a tough week. It's never fun waking up on a Monday after a loss, but there'll be a lot better Mondays coming through all the way to the Super Bowl.
That's right, buddy.
This is the year. All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate you. And last but not least, as always, go.
A charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.